Now Jackie's going to bring us our readings, Dave's going to talk to us, and Alan's going to lead us in some prayers.
Our first reading is from 2 Corinthians chapter 6, starting at the first verse. And that can be found on page 1162 in the Church Bibles. As God's co-workers, we urge you not to receive God's grace in vain, for he says, "In the time of my favor, I heard you, and in the day of salvation, I helped you. I tell you, now is the time of God's favor. Now is the day of salvation. We put no stumbling block in anyone's path so that our ministry will not be discredited. Rather, as servants of God, we commend ourselves in every way, in great endurance, in troubles, hardships, and distresses, in beatings, imprisonments, and riots, in hard work, sleepless nights, and hunger, in purity, understanding, patience, and kindness in the Holy Spirit, and in sincere love, in truthful speech, and in the power of God, with weapons of righteousness in the right hand and in the left, through glory and dishonor, bad report and good report, genuine yet regarded as impostors, known yet regarded as unknown, dying, and yet we live on, beaten and yet not killed, sorrowful, yet always rejoicing, poor, yet making many rich, having nothing, and yet possessing everything. We have spoken freely to you, Corinthians, and opened wide our hearts to you. We are not withholding our affection from you, but you are withholding yours from us. As a fair exchange, I speak as to my children. Open wide your hearts also. And our second reading is from the Gospel of Mark, chapter 4, verse 35. And this is on page 1006. That day, when evening came, he said to his disciples, "Let us go over to the other side." Leaving the crowd behind, they took him along, just as he was, in the boat. There were also other boats with him. A furious squall came up, and the waves broke over the boat, so that it was nearly swamped. Jesus was in the stern, sleeping on a cushion. The disciples woke him and said to him, "Teacher, don't you care if we drown?" He got up, rebuked the wind, and said to the waves, "Quiet, be still." Then the wind died down, and it was completely calm. He said to his disciples, "Why are you so afraid? Do you still have no faith?" They were terrified and asked each other, "Who is this? Even the wind and waves obey him." Thanks be to God.
Let's pray together. Lord, we pray that our hearts would be wide open.
That you would come and speak to us through my words and give us a glimpse of your authority, your mercy, and your glory. Thank you, Lord. Amen. Let's see how we get on with the microphone wire. Seems to me that there are two kinds of people in the world. People who love boats and people who hate boats. Pretty much divides us, doesn't it? So let's see who we are today. Which of us would love nothing better than potting around on a boat this afternoon? Stick your hand up. And which of you would think that was the most horrible thing you could possibly do in the world? Not quite half and half, is it? But there's a few there. Well, our story today clearly involves a dramatic, eventful boat trip. And it's a familiar story, and we're going to look again at it today to try and see what joy and encouragement there is in that story for us. And let's firstly think where we are in our gospel reading in the Bible. And we're in the Gospel of Mark, probably the first to be written, pretty much a consensus on that, and drawn together from the memories of the apostles, probably really with the authority of Peter stamped on it. Nobody knows whether Peter was in the room when it was written or whether Mark was a follower of Peter, but seems to really have some of the quality of Peter in it. And that doesn't mean that it's full of praise for Peter. In fact, it's full of honesty and situations and encounters where Peter and the disciples are really very foolish, very frightened. And that, I think, gives this particular gospel a deep sense for me of meaning and authenticity. That's not to say the others aren't authentic, but for me, Mark is somewhere where I go, where I want to really plug myself into the mains. I really want to be refreshed and to renew my gospel faith in Jesus. And part of the reason I like it is that it's very, very pacey. It's very, very fast moving. We're in chapter 4 here already. By chapter 4, Jesus has drawn the disciples to him. He's healed, he's taught, he's done exorcisms, done a tremendous number of things, and upset a tremendous number of people. Mark's gospel, we see Jesus acting with authority. Authority over illness, authority over demon possession, authority over political power. And the forces and principalities of the world don't like that. They're troubled by that, challenged by that. So Jesus, right from the get-go in Mark, is coming up against it, really challenging the world that is around him. And in chapter 4, we see Jesus, as it opens, on a boat. The crowds are so busy around him, around the lakeside, that Jesus has to retreat to a boat to teach from. Now, archaeologists have fairly recently found a first century boat. Daniel, here's a reconstruction of a first century fishing boat, just over 8 meters long, just over 2 meters wide, 2.3 meters wide. Any of you who are precise, we have some precise people here in Milton, don't we? 2.3 meters wide. And this would have a crew of about 5 people and 15 passengers. And I don't know about you, but X into Y doesn't particularly go on a boat that size with 20 people in it. There isn't much room to hide. There isn't much room to take cover. It's very, very crowded, busy boat to be in. So as our reading today that we had from chapter 4, verse 35, we come to the end of Jesus having taught in parables from the boat, and he decides to cross the lake with the disciples, going over to the Gentiles. And already, that's a very important move, isn't it? Because that move across the lake from teaching the faithful Jewish nation to teaching the Gentiles is what later takes the gospel to Rome, to Canterbury, to Milton. So this is a part of a breaking out of the gospel, of that teaching, to reach all of us. This is Jesus coming across the lake to all of us. And he's crossing the lake at night. And that's important. Because for the Jewish nation, lakes and oceans were where bad things happened. The chaos of a lake or of an ocean mimicked the chaos of the world, and these were frightening and dark places to be. But the disciples go along with him, and the gospel doesn't record them having any complaint about them crossing the lake at night. They would have been night fishermen and used to crossing the lake at night and used to reading the weather signs. So we can assume that at the start, this is a calm night. There's no storm on its way. But a storm comes. And these are fishermen. Can we go back one? I think we've... Yeah, that's one. This is a painting of Jesus and the disciples in the boat. It is crowded. And this is by a Japanese artist called Watanabe, who painted this. And it's a print. Beautifully, it says a print on crumpled paper. I quite like that. It's a print. And here you can see that the darkness of the ocean, the crowded in disciples. You can see Jesus sleeping there in the stern of the boat, and the darkness of the storm around them. And this is a huge storm that breaks upon them. The water is absolutely breaking upon them. Daniel, this is a painting of the scene by Backhuizen, who is a Dutch artist in the 16th and early 17th centuries. This might be a bit dark for you to see. That's probably the point. It was dark. And here you can see the waves massively crashing upon the boat. This is a storm of storms in the middle of the lake, in the middle of the night. And Jesus is lying down asleep, exhausted, presumably, from a long teaching session by the side of the lake. And the disciples are really, really cross with him. Lord, don't you care if we die? They're really cross with him. That's an anguished cry. They've probably been reluctant to wake him, having seen how tired he was. That's an anguished cry. So Jesus gets up, and as you know from the familiar story, he rebukes the wind and the waves, and they are still. And then he rebukes the disciples. Why were you so frightened? Have you no faith? Don't you trust God? And their response is, now they're terrified. Who on earth is this that we've thrown our lot in with on this small boat in the middle of a storm, who has the power and the authority to control the weather? So this is one of those instances in the Gospels where we have a very short episode, a very short fragment of the Gospel that has a tremendous amount to teach us. Many things are happening in this story, and there are many things for us to ponder. And the first for us to ponder is to say, there will be storms. The disciples had done everything that was asked of them. They'd left their homes, they'd left their families, they'd left their livelihoods, they'd thrown their lot in with Jesus, they were experiencing that life on the road with him, they were being as faithful as they could be, and they felt that they came close to death. There will be storms. And the reading we had from 2 Corinthians, Paul goes through a list of beatings and humiliation and poverty and dissension and disaster that's occurred to him, imprisonment and all of those things. There will be storms. Storms for the disciples, storms for St. Paul, storms for us. And some of us I know today, actually two or three of you, have shared with me already this morning that actually there are storm clouds brewing for you and much prayer needed. And some of you, I think, are just in the middle of some storms of illness or pain or anxiety, family things. This is honest. This is the Christian life. We were not promised a rose garden. We were, if anything, promised storms. If that's a surprise to you, well, you should always read a job description before you apply for a job, because that's in the Christian job description. There will be storms and trouble. And this week, of course, a terrible storm in Charleston, in Carolina. How very, very terrible for people to be killed while worshipping. How very stormy and dark, actually, the world can seem. Since we moved to Cottenham, I've had the joy of the Today programme every morning as I drive in. I don't always drive in, but I do. I'm not sure it's doing me any good. Firstly, I need a button on my car that says, please stop squabbling, particularly in the run-up to the election. Please, please stop squabbling. Can I have a squabble-free version of this programme? But also just the ISIS stuff, the storms around the world. It's hard, isn't it? Sometimes I get to work and stop and pray and just think, Lord, I don't know what to say. There will be storms. But next. But the simple truth of it is, Jesus is in the boat with us. And that sounds banal, but actually, it's true. Jesus is in the boat and he's physical. He's tired. He's asleep. He's a man. And he's present. And he's engaged with the disciples. And he sorts it out. And he sorts it out with the authority of God. Many of the Psalms speak of things like, who is it who can control the weather, Lord? Who is it who can still the storm? It's you. And this would not have been lost upon the disciples and the early church hearing this story. Who had that power to still the storm? It was God. This is God in the boat, in the man of Jesus, incarnate, loving, full of grace and mercy. So authority is in the boat with us, with the storm. This authority that has authority over illness, over possession, over politics, over hunger. This power and authority and grace is in the boat with us. But let's remember the response of the disciples. Next slide, Daniel. And they shout, effectively, at Jesus. And Jesus isn't cross with them for that. Doesn't rebuke them at all for that. So let's just have a think about that for a moment. He doesn't rebuke them for the shouting. He rebukes them for the lack of faith. Didn't you know that authority was there? Didn't you trust that? So in my opinion, it's sometimes good to shout to God. Sometimes good to shout at God when you're in the storm. What authority do I have to say that? Let's have a look at a couple of little fragments from Psalms, Daniel. Should be some words from Psalm 10 before the eye. Can you go back? Has it jumped ahead? Okay, I'll read them. You've seen all my secrets. Psalm 10. Why, Lord, do you stand far off? Why do you hide yourself in times of trouble? Here's Psalm 44, verses 22 to 23. Awake, O Lord, why do you sleep? Rouse yourself. Do not forget us forever. That's a psalm that resonates very strongly with this boat story, doesn't it? Really, really resonates with that. But again, as with Jesus, the shouting to God then resolves into faith. Because very many of these psalms of shoutiness, not a theological term, but I quite like it, many of these psalms of shoutiness resolve with, and you, Lord, have the authority and the power, and I place my trust in you. So if we are in a shouty place with God, that's all right, but place your trust in him, in the boat, physical, incarnate, with authority. Resolves down to faith. Now, point of this slide. This feels to me very much like an eyewitness story. It's quite popular in modern theology now to think about eyewitness testimony and the Gospels in particular. This feels like an eyewitness story recounted by real people, telling a story in which the disciples come out with very little credit. They come out as poor fishermen, as poor sailors. They come out as people who couldn't control the boat in a storm. They had to wake Jesus up. And then they got told off for not having faith. This isn't a story that somebody's made up in order to make them look good. It makes them look pretty broken, struggling disciples. And that's the joy of it. because it speaks to us as broken, struggling disciples. Next slide, Daniel. So it seems to me the hallmarks of this story are that it's gritty, real things happening to real people. It's honest, it feels authentic to me. And by each of those qualities, by the recounting of how terrified the disciples were, by reading it, by praying it, by preaching on it, we're encouraged, we're moved, our faith is deepened. So by this eyewitness story, we are healed. And it seems to me that we probably have eyewitness stories to tell as well, that are gritty, honest, and authentic, of a storm and then stillness, of panic and then authority, of grace and mercy leading to joy. We have these stories in our lives. I have them in my life. You have them in your lives. We've been sharing them as we walk along together. We will continue to share them. But I think the word is not just to share them to each other, but because by sharing the gritty, honest, authentic stories of Jesus in our life, the people we encounter will be encouraged and moved and drawn into discipleship. And the story ends, doesn't it, with the disciples saying, "Who on earth is this?" In a sense, this is a story that's all about Jesus and his authority. And it's also all about us. Who on earth are we in the boat with this Lord of light and mercy, incarnate and physical, and yet with the authority that's manifest in the gospel? And that, for me, takes me to a place of praise and awe, and to God be the glory. Amen.